Flip what you tell yourself about networking first and foremost, because you are self-rejecting even before you've put yourself out there. And then approach it with the number one quality that's going to make you good at networking.
Welcome to Coach Me, the podcast for women who want more. More clarity, more confidence, more you. We're Tanu and Catherine, friends, working moms, businesswomen, and real-life coaching buddies.
Each week, we cut the BS and bring you insights, tools, and truth bombs that help you show up stronger at work, at home, and in life. If we can coach each other through the chaos,
we can coach you too.
Welcome back to Coach Me. Today, we're tackling a topic that most ambitious women secretly roll their eyes at: networking. When we hear the word networking, many of us imagine awkward small talk over bad wine and name tags, trying to sound impressive while plotting our escape route. But the truth is that your network is directly tied to your net worth. In fact, research shows that up to 85% of jobs are filled through networking and not applications. Yet, a LinkedIn survey found that nearly 40% of professionals admit they struggle to maintain relationships once they've made them. And it's not just about climbing the corporate ladder. Whether you want to find a mentor, pivot your career, attract clients, or even make new friends as an adult, your ability to connect with people can literally shape the opportunities that come your way. So, in this episode, we want to dust off the boring old networking playbook and reframe it as a life skill. Because if you've ever dealt with a weak boss, wrestled with imposter syndrome or phenomenon, or felt like you don't have the right people around you, then building the right connections inside and outside of work is your power move. We are going to coach you through how to make networking feel less fake, more fun, and way more effective so that you can build a network that works for you.
I'm so excited for this one because this is something that I went through. I had such a limiting belief about networking growing up. When you're doing college or grad school, you're constantly being told by everybody, network, 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 network. That's the most important thing you can do. Start networking, start showing up. And then obviously you're left thinking, what do I do? So you are at the mercy of whatever your idea of networking is. And then you go and bump your head and try to network the way you can. There's no school that teaches you networking. The first reference of networking that I can think of when I was growing up was the relationship my dad had to networking. And he was working in big corporate companies. And he was obviously someone I looked up to. And I would see him come back home and tell us, oh, you know, I had this event I didn't go to. That's not for me. I have to show up and be all fake. Some of them I don't even like. And I have to make small talk with them. I'd rather be with my family. I'd rather be authentic. And of course, in that moment, it makes you feel like, oh, he's such a family guy. But that is the biggest myth. And he does realize now, we talk about it, that that was like one of the biggest lies he told himself back then. It is a myth that networking is fake and it has to be forced. And the truth is that networking is and can be about genuine connection. Sure, I mean, you go into a room with a lot of unknowns, but the idea is to then find that gem of a connection in all those rocks for yourself, right? And that's where you really start to get something out of it.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, because sometimes the connection I have when I think of networking is like a sales event. Like, it's all these like middle-aged white men standing around awkwardly, having drinks. But networking, it's really connect with people. There's so many friends we've made in our networks, right? And through the networks that we see again and again at events, you go to this event, that event, you meet people again, or you become a speaker, or they ask you to become a speaker at the next one because they know you from something else. This is very career oriented, very energetic, positive, nurturing, supportive. And it's really what you make of it. There are studies from LinkedIn, Forbes, Harvard Business Review that show that most of the job opportunities, like it can be 70 to 85%, depending on the study, of opportunities come from networks. And that's crazy. If you are in the right networks, if you are going to those events and making the most of those, then that can really serve you. You meet people. It's like a casual job interview, right? You meet people, you talk to them about what you're working on, what you're passionate about. You put yourself out there in a less strict circumstance than like a job interview type of situation.
I love that you said that because, yes, it's all about putting yourself, your personal brand out there without being in a high-stakes situation like an interview. Absolutely. It's actually the easiest way that you can be on top of people's minds. So what's important is the frame of mind you approach networking with. I think most of the rejection when it comes to networking is happening even before you've experienced it or done something about it. There are people that are a certain type of personality, right? Very outgoing, very outspoken, very exuberant. And they, you believe, are so good at networking. And because you are the opposite personality type, you think, oh, I'm more of an introvert. I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm not good at networking. And if you carry that belief system about yourself, naturally, networking feels like this big mountain to climb. And then nervousness creeps up and you have this resistance in your mind against networking. And it all boils down to how you look at it, the lens with which you're looking at networking. If you think that it is transactional, like you're going there to get something out of someone and you're going there to sell yourself or to be liked, guess what happens? The fear of rejection comes up, which is why it feels like, oh my God, I have to go there and be fake and put up this face and act like someone I'm not and get something out of someone. All that pressure and the fear of rejection is what brings up that resistance in your mind. And then you explain it away by saying, oh, I'm not fake. I'd rather be with my family. And sure, it makes you feel good in that moment, but you have no idea what opportunities you've lost on the back of it. So flip what you tell yourself about networking first and foremost, because you are self-rejecting even before you've put yourself out there. And then approach it with curiosity. That is the number one quality that's going to make you good at networking.
I think you're touching on an important point here. If you approach networking as something, or any situation where you meet people, if you approach that as something where you want something out of it, you come in with that vibe of, I'm just here to gain something, but you're not here for the people. You cannot connect with people and really leave an impact with them if you go there with that agenda of just doing it for yourself. You have to go there with a mindset of curiosity, of openness, of actual interest in the people you meet. And it's really important to prepare for that as well. You need to prep yourself to have some openers, some conversation starters, to practice those. Even when you meet new parents at the parent evening or at a wedding where you're invited, where you don't know the people, right? It's a similar situation. You meet new people. Being open and curious makes you immediately more likable and less desperate. You know, you don't want to be there and be like, oh, well, I do that, that, and that, and I'm this, this, and this. You want to open with things like, oh, how do you know the organizer? Or what made you join today? What speaker are you excited about today? You could even ask to join a group when that's like a breakout session, and you just stand with the group and say like, hey, do you guys mind if I join you? I'm here alone today. I don't really know anyone. I was just wondering if I could join your conversation. Remember, rejection is rare and not fatal. So at a networking event, like, what is the worst that could happen? People say, sorry, we want to keep this conversation private, or we were just about to leave or whatever. You join the next group.
I am a serial networker. And let me tell you, this has never, ever happened to me. Worst thing that you can do is waste time at wrong events. So make sure that you're picking the events that actually align with your goals, and not just your goals, but also your strengths. Go into it with a goal that you'll find one or two good contacts that complement your field or area of work. Research the speakers and attendees. You can create some short messages, are non-creepy, and send some outreach messages on LinkedIn before the event.
Totally. And I just want to reemphasize, you don't want to stalk people. You don't want to be a creep and know everything about them. But it's really nice to create that familiarity and have these kind of like common ground topics, because that builds trust.
It's all about the human connection. Networking is where you start that first spark of connection. And then it's up to you to really keep it warm, nurture it, and keep it going. So it's not just about starting, going to that networking event and starting a connection, but it's also about nurturing and making sure that you're being intentional behind who you're connecting with and how you want to really carry that relationship forward. So Kathy, when my clients are speaking to me about networking, I actually give them homework when it comes to networking.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you and I discuss some tools. So help our audience with some easy to use tools that could get them started.
Absolutely. I brought two things with me today that I love to apply myself and that I talk to my clients about as well. One of them is the FORD model, F-O-R-D, each letter standing for a word. So the FORD model is a conversation starter model that helps you to build that bridge when you meet new people. When you get to an event, when you're speaking to these people and you are scrambling, like talking about the weather, this gives you a way better alternative to create real connections. The F stands for family, the O for occupation, the R for recreation, and the D for dreams. Any of these topics are absolutely go-getters for creating connections with people. I think this is really the curiosity and connection that networking events enable us to have if we just take the opportunity to approach them, right? So that gives you just a little bit of a conversation starter. You could just write those letters, F-O-R-D, on your hand or like on a napkin or something in your pocket and just think of some questions whilst you speak with people to connect more deeply. And then there is a body language expert that I love. Her name is Vanessa Van Edward. She is awesome. I love watching her. You make sure if you check her out, you watch a video where she actually speaks and showcases, because she's that body language kind of person who really shows off the different ways and effects body language has. She's done a lot of research on warmth and competence in how you come across with people. If you're, for example, too warm, like super friendly and super cheery and, oh, you're so great, you did so well at this, and oh my God, your speech, I really enjoyed it and was so amazing, you come across less credible. Those are her research findings. And I think we all have ideas that come to mind, examples that come to mind from our real life. And if, for example, you are too cold, like that was great. Kind of like just keeping it short and not saying a lot, not giving away a lot, being very guarded, that makes you come across very unapproachable. And same with competence, right? You don't want to come across hyper competent, but absolutely not approachable, or super warm, but absolutely not competent. She also talks about the body language, like how you can have an open posture, how your toes should be angled towards the room, like a croissant. Mm-hmm. And notice that in a conversation you have with people, when they start turning their feet the other way, but still face you, they actually want to, you know, bolt. Then it's the relaxed smile, the grounded tone, not being super high pitched and like this the whole time, which makes people nervous, and distance you hold to the other person, the personal space when you go into a networking event, and being like, oh my God, are my hands visible? Is my posture open? Is my voice deep enough? You don't want to come across really awkward like that, watching out for all of this. But there are some things we could micro correct in the way we come across, instead of being like, hi, hi. You know, when you say hello to someone, you could just be like, hi. And you come across like a whole different person. It's little things. So yeah, those are my absolute go-tos when I speak to clients and for myself as well. I could talk about this all day.
Thank you, Kathy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's such a good point about how you hold yourself and how you carry yourself and what you start talking about. But I have to say that this might seem a lot or overwhelming for our neurodiverse audience, people that are highly sensitive or introverted or find small talk too tedious. So this is why we're giving you tools that you can look at and sort of perform it rather than thinking it has to come naturally to me because it comes naturally to someone else that I see all the time. It does not have to come naturally to you. So you're there in a networking event for 2 hours or 3 hours. You can totally perform, you know, and nobody is going to know. So networking skills is something that also can be taught. Whenever I'm going to a networking event, I'm wearing my unassuming blingy sneakers with a really nice formal business suit. And I often get people commenting on my sneakers and saying something funny to me or complimenting me. And then that's how we hit it off or we start talking and we find a connection. So whatever, you know, little quirk or uniqueness you have about your personality, maybe you have really colorful glasses that you wear. That could also become a conversation starter. So also focus on visual, like aesthetical things that could make it easy for you to stand out and have a conversation in these settings.
Use it as a magnet, definitely, to find your people. That's really good.
Yeah. All right. So another thing that I wanted to circle back on, Kathy, that you were talking about, how this applies to friendships, dating, and any other human
social
connection, social situation. So, you know how we have the bias that we're always talking about and saying, oh, humans have this inherent bias and people are promoting people they know and blah, blah, blah. We're always talking against it. This is the one situation that you can use bias to your advantage, right? Because the bias exists, you go network, get yourself known, get yourself top of mind and see that bias working in your favor. So use it and reframe networking as connection practice rather than something that you have to inculcate or become a natural at.
Oh yeah, it is definitely practice. And some will go well and some won't, you know? Sometimes you come back with a lot of connections. Sometimes you come back with none. And that's okay. Totally. If any of our listeners now feel like I want to be a social butterfly just like Tanu, then you're in luck because our tool of the week is actually for our listeners to practice everything we've preached today. We want you to practice a 2-minute networking warm-up. You can do this with a friend, with a colleague, with your partner, whoever, just before you go to an event, even if it's speed dating you're attending, right? Like practice this. And here are the 4 steps we brought for you today you need to practice. First, ask one thought question, F-O-R-D, one question about family, occupation, recreation, or dreams of the other person. Practice your body language, that open stance, hands visible, natural smile, wine in hand. Check your voice, your tone. Is it calm and confident, not too high-pitched or too rushed? And the 4th step is that curiosity flip. For every question you are being asked by a person you're speaking with, return one back with curiosity. Something like, how about you for starters? Or what's been your experience? How do you feel about that? Something that brings back the curiosity and keeps the conversation afloat. So those 4 steps, thought, body language, tone, and flipping that curiosity right back at them. Practice that. 2 minutes, 3 minutes with a friend, with a colleague. Just getting you into that practice, into that flow. And in no time, you will be offered jobs just like Tanu.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Those are really good. That's a great homework to give to our audience. But I also want to say one thing on the curiosity flip. Don't be thinking while they're talking. Right? Don't be thinking about your next question because now you've trained yourself so well to keep asking questions to come across as curious. Be genuinely curious. Like when they're talking to you, they're telling you stuff. Don't just, you know, think, oh yeah, what was my next question going to be? Maybe you want to ask a different question based on the story they're telling you. And if all of this sounds overwhelming still, go with the easy one, right? Just comment on their shoes or start conversation by saying, oh, I love your hair. Oh, I like your jewelry. And yeah, for men, be careful with that one. You don't want to come across creepy. Yeah.
Yes. So absolutely.
To summarize, remember, it is practice. It is something that you can fake and develop as a skill, and it does not have to be innate. And networking opens you up to serendipity. You never know what kind of beautiful, amazing experiences and opportunities you open up to if you just dress up and show up.
Absolutely. And practice makes perfect. You don't have to be perfect from the beginning. Even if you just get one question out or manage to control your tone of voice to not be super high-pitched, if that's your natural excited go-to, then great. Take it as a win. And make sure you practice this wherever you go, whether you meet new colleagues or parents at school pickup or even at the supermarket. If the more you practice, the more natural it will feel when it actually counts. And that's a wrap.
Thanks for hanging out with us on Coach Me. Got a question or something you want us to coach through? Slide into our DMs or drop us a message. We might feature it on the next episode.
And hey, don't forget to hit follow. Your future self will thank you. Just one more quick note. Everything we share here is based on our own experiences and coaching tools. It's not medical or mental health advice. So if you're struggling or need support, please reach out to a qualified professional. You've got this, and we've got you. See you next time on Coach Me. That's it.